We have been learning what it means to have the Lord as our shepherd. And yesterday I was up here. You might have seen the video on Facebook, on Solid Rock's Facebook. And there was a herd of deer up here, and I just couldn't help but see, you know, Jesus up there herding sheep. And he is our shepherd, and he cares about us, and he protects us. He does so many things for us. Last week we talked about the Lord is my. We talked about the possessive pronoun my and how hard it is sometimes to realize that he's ours. He's ours and we're his. And he's very, very possessive of us. He's very, very jealous of that relationship. And he holds us close when we allow him to. And even when we don't, he's still holding us close. How many of you have had a child who's just unruly and you just grabbed him and held him anyway? Yep, that's us with Jesus, with God, right? So we're learning what it means to have him as our shepherd. We've looked at that. He is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. But before we get started, before I read this scripture this morning, Psalm 23, I want you to think about something. If you could choose to be any animal, what would you be? You know, and a lot of people say, oh, I'd be an elephant, you know. Honestly, you know, just think about it for a minute. I was thinking about this week, you know, as I was working on this sermon, and I thought, gee, what would I like? Elephant? No. Tiger? No. Lion? No. I would want to be a horse, and I would want to belong to Kelsey, because she spoils all of her animals, and she had a horse, and she spoiled him. He was the most spoiled horse in the world. But I would like to be a horse. Why? Okay, because there's relationship between a rider and an owner and a horse. And if you've ever had a horse, Cindy, you've had horses, we've had horses, you know that's something very special. That's my animal. I don't know what your animal is, okay? Just think about it for a minute, okay? While we read the scripture. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. So let's go back. What animal did you identify with? You know, I told you, I kind of threw you off a little bit. I said horse for me. Actually, the animal we need to identify with is a sheep. We need to be sheep. And if you've ever worked with sheep, you're like, no, I don't want to be a sheep. I really don't want to be a sheep. You know, of the hundreds of sheep we worked with, I think there was only one sheep I really liked, and that was Snowball. And that's because Cindy raised him, and he was perfect, right? But maybe if we let Jesus raise us, maybe we'll end up someday being perfect too. So from now on, I want you to start thinking about yourself as God's sheep. Because it says what? The Lord is my shepherd. And in order for him to be your shepherd, you got to be a sheep. So start thinking of yourself as a sheep, okay? When he is our shepherd and we are his sheep, he does some amazing things for us. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Verse 2. He provides for our most important physical needs. He provides food. He provides a safe place. Now, think about yourself as a sheep, okay? Sheep are not that smart. And neither are we. I mean, we kind of think we're all that in a bag of chips, but we get in trouble and then we're like, yep, I'm a sheep. He provides us for our most important physical needs. You know, right off the bat, the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That food that he gives, he provides us with our most important, physical needs, but he also provides us with our most important spiritual needs, okay? And those spiritual needs and physical needs are the same. Pasture, food, and rest. We need a place of our own, don't we? We need something to eat and we need rest. And that's what the pasture is all about. So I want you to think about this. When the shepherd brings the sheep into the pasture, they graze, okay? They eat. And then they get their bellies full. And they usually go over and they lie down. And then they chew their cud. How many of you know what that means? Okay? Sheep have multiple stomachs. Actually, they have pouches in their stomach. So what they do is they eat quite a bit of grass, usually. A lot of the stuff that they eat is somewhat acidic. It's hard to digest. Cows do the same thing. Antelope do the same thing. And what they do is they get their stomachs full, and then they sit down. And this is the fun part. They regurgitate their food back up into their mouth. They re-chew it. And they digest it. And what I think Jesus is saying to us in this is, I'm your shepherd, and I'll make you lie down in green pastures. I'll give you food. But you need to lay down and rest, and you need to chew on what I'm giving you. I mean, if you think about that, how many times are we in a rush to go someplace, and we go through a fast food place, and we grab our food, and I've done it time and time again. And you get down the road a little bit, and you feel like you're going to throw up. You feel like you need to re-chew the food, right? And I think it's the same way with our spiritual walk. Sometimes we just consume the Bible, and we just go, and then we're pretty soon, we don't really digest it, and we don't really get what it's saying. And that's why I kind of like to go over the scriptures on Sunday mornings, so we kind of get what God's saying. And we can do that every day. We can just stop and say, okay, God, what are you trying to tell me here? What are you trying to do? When God gives us spiritual food, we need to stop and chew on it. See, he wants us to take time to properly digest what he's giving us in our life. And I'm not just talking about our daily devotion. I'm not just talking about you know, the word that he gives us. That is very important. But what about you're going through the day and something happens and you need to just stop and pause? Hey, have you ever been to that point where you just know if you do anything, the next thing you do is going to be wrong? We've all been there, haven't we? I had that happen up at the college last year. I was in a situation, and everybody was pretty used to me just kind of, you know, squaring my shoulders and standing there. And I just shook my head and walked away. And I went and prayed. And later I talked to the people who were involved, and they said, you know, that scared the crap out of us, because you never do that. It must have been pretty bad. Yeah, it was pretty bad, because I knew no matter what I did, no matter what I said, it wasn't going to be right, and God fixed it. God fixed it. When we're going through circumstances, we just need to stop and say, okay, God, you've given me your word. You've given me these circumstances. You've given me these people around me. Father, what do I need to do? And as many of you know, I'm kind of quiet and shy, and I don't talk much. I thought I'd get a laugh out of that one. I've never met a stranger in my life, you know? And sometimes it's just best to go in quiet and wait until you assess the situation and until the Holy Spirit assesses that situation in you. You're just sitting there. You're just digesting what's going on before you go in swinging. I mean, I've said this time and time. I'm Irish on both sides of my family, and we believe in peace, and we will go anywhere in the world to fight for it. But we need to stop. We need to just say, okay, God, I am going to think about you in this situation. I'm going to think about maybe his word that morning really gave you something that you needed for the rest of the day. Maybe the people around you, you know, just they're there to grow you. They're there to encourage you. They're there to correct you. And we need to stop and think about that. So he gives us pasture. He gives us food. He gives us rest. Right there. Well, the next thing he does in verse 2 is it says that, you know, he makes me lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside quiet water. Now, this is amazing. Quiet water. Sheep don't like fast running water. They spook easy. They really do, okay? And here's another thing about sheep. They are incapable of finding good water on their own. They really are. We saw this time and time on the farm, okay? If left alone, sheep will drink whatever water they stumble upon. They will, even if it's stagnant, filthy, and unfit to drink. If they're thirsty, they'll drink it. And it may kill them. It may not be good. They'll drink alcohol. Well, they will. They'll just get into all kinds of trouble. You see, only Jesus is capable of meeting our needs. Only the shepherd knows where the good water can be found. Jesus leads his flock. He leads his flock. He doesn't send them out to find water on their own. And the beautiful thing about Christ is sometimes he walks ahead of us, sometimes he walks among us, but he always leads. He always leads. If we're going to be sheep, if we're going to understand who the good shepherd is, you want to know what our main responsibility is in this relationship? Our main responsibility, the main skill that Jesus wants us to perfect is this. We must follow the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I didn't understand this scripture because when we worked sheep, I had two of the best sheep dogs you have ever seen in your life. I had a border collie and a blue heeler. They were both crossed with other things, and they were smart, good dogs. All I had to do was just open up a gate and go like that, and they just round everything up and push them wherever you wanted. And I saw Jesus as that sheep dog, and I thought he was just trying to move me every place I didn't want to go. And when my attitude was Jesus was the sheepdog and I didn't want to go there, okay, I didn't go there. I didn't follow because I felt like he was always pushing me. You know why I felt like he was always pushing me? Well, there's a few reasons, but for me, I felt like he was pushing me because I had some pride, some arrogance, some unforgiveness. These things are called sin. I'll break it down. I had sin in my life, okay? And God was trying to push me in the right direction. He really was. He was trying to hedge me in and keep me out of trouble. And finally, one day when I just decided, look, this is not working, and I faced the shepherd, and I realized who he was, and I read this, and I realized, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me. And I don't know, there was something inside of me, it just snapped, and I realized, my main responsibility is to follow the shepherd, because he's going to take me where? He's going to take me to those pastures. He's going to take me to that water. He's going to do all kinds of things that we're going to find out about in later weeks. But if I follow him, my main responsibility is I need to follow him. And the thing is, you know something? We go along in life and we follow Jesus, and then we don't even really do it consciously. Sometimes we just kind of take a little turn and we get out here in the middle of nowhere. We're looking around and the shepherd's not very close. And you know what we usually do? We go, bah! And that bah is, I'm in trouble. That's what a sheep does. And when we bah, when we say, oh Lord, help me, what does he do? He leaves the 99, and that good shepherd comes, and he grabs us, and he brings us back to the flock. And he says, okay, you weren't following very good. Let's try this again. And I've been out there, and I've done a lot of bahing, okay? But I think I'm getting a little bit better at following him. And sometimes he'll lead us where we don't want to go. Sometimes he will lead us where we don't want to go. Sometimes getting to the best water, we're talking about some water, following the shepherd, sometimes the best water is in a difficult journey. You know, you'll find that in the mountains, some of the best water to drink isn't real easy to get to, because it was easy to get to, it wouldn't be the best water because everybody would have, you know, been there and dirtied it up. And the best water is not always easy to get to. The water may be off the beaten path. Perhaps it's at the base of a steep mountainside in your life, metaphorically speaking, okay? Or the best water might be in a dark valley. As we learn later, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, in the bottom of every valley, there's water. Spearfish Canyon, some of the purest water we have, flows right down that canyon. But we have to follow Jesus through everything. Sometimes shepherds found pure water sources inside caverns. Now this is a historical fact that a lot of people just kind of looked over. But here's this historical fact that ties into that. As many of you know, the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in a cavern, in a cave. And those shepherds found those scrolls. Those shepherds were not looking for the Dead Sea Scrolls. Those shepherds were looking for water for their sheep. And I find it very easy, very amazing, that those shepherds who were looking for water for their sheep found the living water. They found the scrolls of the Word of God. Something so precious, so valuable, the whole world was like, oh! And you want to know something? Sometimes it feels like God's leading us into a cavern for that water, doesn't it? And what's amazing is these shepherds, they would find water in a cavern, and sometimes the sheep couldn't even get down there. So what they would do is they would take logs and boards, and they would build these walkways down to the water in these caverns. So that the sheep would go down there. But the thing is sheep don't like to go down into dark holes. They might not be very smart, but they're smarter than that. And the only thing that would nudge them and coax them into going is they knew their shepherd, they knew his voice, they trusted him, and they would follow him. Now, isn't it interesting that in order to get down to that water, the shepherd had to go first. The shepherd had to walk on those boards. Maybe they'd been put in there by somebody else. Maybe they'd been there for a while. Maybe they were a little unsteady or unsturdy. But the shepherd would always go first, and the sheep would follow the shepherd down to the water. And then the sheep would always stay, and they would follow the shepherd out of the water. And you want to know something? The first time that the shepherd took them down in there, it was quite a process. He'd have to stop and coax and stop and coax and stop and coax. Do you ever feel like Jesus is leading you and you just stop like, no. No way. I'm not this new. This cannot be right. And Jesus waits and he coaxes us, and we go a little further and a little further and a little further. And eventually we get to that living water. And every time that Jesus does that, we learn something about our shepherd. We learn that we can trust him no matter what the path looks like. We know that he will lead us. He will lead us to a place that we need. He will lead us to a place of life. He will lead us to a place of safety. He will lead us somewhere where we can be refreshed. Another thing about these caverns is a lot of times they had large areas in them, and they just let the sheep stay down there in the heat of the day, and then they would go back up when it cooled off. You see, the shepherd knows what he's doing. Just like these shepherds knew what they were doing, our good shepherd knows what he's doing. We need to trust our shepherd, because we need to know that he is here. He is here to give us the very best that he can provide. The very best. That's our shepherd. Now, the amazing thing about our shepherd is this. He not only leads us to water, but he leads us to the best water. If we go to John 7, 37 through 39, on the last and greatest day of the feast in Jerusalem, Jesus stood and he said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." And by this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him would later receive. You see, Jesus promises us this living water, which is him, which is the Holy Spirit in us. He says, this isn't going to be just any old water. This is going to be living water. This is going to be water given by God. This is going to be water. Metaphorically speaking, this is going to be Jesus in you. And when you experience his presence inside of you, it's like Jesus is leading you and the Holy Spirit is encouraging you inside. See, he not only walks before us, he walks among us, he walks within us, and he walks behind us. And he is here to give us the only water really worth having, and that's him. So I just encourage you to remember that the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. And he will make you to lay down in green pastures, and he will lead you beside quiet waters. Think about those waters this week as you're walking with him. thinking about sitting down in the pasture in the sun a little bit and just reflecting on what God has for you. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today and we thank you so much. Thank you, Father, that you have so much for us. We thank you, Lord, that no matter what happens, you are there. Lord Jesus, you go before us. You keep us safe. You call our name. We know your name, your voice, Lord, because your voice is always calling to us, always saying, follow me, trust me, love me. Come and drink the water that will give you life. So, Father, we pray that we will follow the voice of the shepherd. We will hear that voice clearer and clearer every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Oh, I picked a sheep before I knew where you were going at all. But the reason I would pick a sheep is because he refers to my little snowball, and he has mentioned, you know, how it came to be. We were working on a dairy, and I got to raise the bums. And we did that for income, and it went well with us to do that. And anyway, the owner had made me a little, they'd made me a place, and it had these little bottle holders. It had these little troughs. It was made out of wood. And so all I had to do was fix their bottles, and all I had to do was just go in the little shed and just line those bottles up, my sheep, you know, pushing and everything, and line them up, and then they would just feed themselves. But here's an important thing. Snowball and I had a real attachment at this point, because I had him, I had to baby him myself. So even when he got big enough to be able to be out there with the others, when I would go out there and I'd line up all of those bottles, and it'd take me a while. I had 13 bums that year, and they're pushing and they're about to knock me over. But Snowball, I would always, and he'd push to get in there as well, but him, I would scoot off to the side, and I would scoot him off to the side, and I would just keep doing that while I could put all of those bottles in there. And I left his bottle, and I would take him after all the rest of them were pigging out on their food, and I would take him, and we would go over, and I would lift him into my lap on a hay bale, and I would feed him myself. And this went on for a little bit, and then came the day that he would walk into that shed with all the others, just pushing and shoving and pushing and shoving, and not Snowball. Snowball would go over to the hay bale, and he would wait, and he would wait. Because what did he know? Well, one, he knew he was going to get fed. But more than that, he knew he would be lifted into my arms and he would be loved. He would be cuddled and he would be loved. And you see, even a piece of livestock understands that that's what they need. And we do, you know, if we're clamoring for the, you know, everything that the world has given us and the food that we can grasp, and when we're clamoring for that and we're in such a hurry to get that, I just want you to get this picture in your head and never let it leave, that the shepherd is waiting at the hay bale and he will feed you yourself. It is a personal place that you get to come and you get to be fed and you get to be loved. And there is no one on earth that can give you that. He gives you that. So just keep that picture in your heart when you are thinking about all the things that you're pushing ahead to do, and maybe even the ways that you're just trying to squeeze Jesus in wherever you can. You need some time at the hay bale. You really do. And let him come love on you that way. He would love to do that. Okay. Of course, it's baby bottle time of year again, so if you haven't grabbed your baby bottle, please do that. And then we'll, you know, and we'll give that offering here in a few weeks to Bella Pregnancy Care. And then this week is Ladies Bible Study, and that will be on Thursday night, and that'll be at 6:30 over here in the Fellowship Hall. So come on ahead, ladies. Let's hear what God has for us this week. And also at 6:30 will be men's prayer. So anyway, that's what we have going on here. So if the worship team and the ushers will come forward, we will worship our way out of here. And let's find that hay bale this week and be fed from the shepherd himself.